It's Monitor, and music by Lenny D. Folsom Prison Blues. Up your dial, and if you're lighting up anything else at the moment, stick around, my friend. Monitor's got something special to say to you this weekend. I'm Ted Steele, sharing the good vibrations with you and with Hugo Montenegro.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. She must be kind.
Many groups are springing up all over the country in the growing campaign to break the cigarette habit. And one of the most ambitious is the 5-Day Smokers Withdrawal Clinic. Dr. Robert Dunn is actively involved with the clinic's program in the New York metropolitan area, and Monitor asked for details.
Dr. Dunn, what exactly is the Smokers Withdrawal Clinic? How does it exist? How does it work?
We have two doctors who are presenting this program here in New York City. They have a group of people who have come, and we discuss with them some of the facts regarding the tobacco habit and some of the ill effects from smoking. And then the group explains how they react, especially after the second or third day, and they encourage one another. We use a buddy system, and one person has chosen another buddy, and they call them several times during the day, and they encourage each other not to smoke, and this helps a great deal.
The five-day plan touches every phase of a smoker's activity, including diet. Now, why is that so important?
We don't emphasize diet so much, except at the beginning we put them on a light diet, mostly fruit and increased fluid intake at the beginning. This helps to flush out the nicotine, and it prevents overloading their digestive tract, because when people stop smoking, they often feel very hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So we advise them to start off light.
Dr. Dunn, many people trying to give up smoking are concerned by an increase in weight, which seems to result. Does your program take this into consideration?
Naturally, when you stop smoking, your taste buds improve, your appetite comes back, and you feel hungry and you want to eat. And some people worry about this weight increase. But it's not really a serious problem. The average non-smoker weighs only 2 or 3 pounds more than the smoker. And it's not really a serious problem as it's played up to be.
Doctor, in this five-day withdrawal clinic, what is the critical make or break point, or is there one?
For some people, it's the first day. The first day they stop smoking. But for others, the third day. By the third day, most of the metabolites of nicotine are excreted, and they're pretty well off, but that's the hardest time. That's when the withdrawal symptoms come, and people feel miserable. Some people feel like climbing the walls.
Dr. Dunn, if an individual wanted to begin immediately, even before he could enroll in this local five-day clinic on Monday, let's say, what would you suggest he begin doing this weekend, right now?
If a person is really interested in stopping smoking, they should make a list. Write down some of the reasons why they would like to stop smoking. They can gather some facts by reading some local articles, and from these facts, write them down, and from these facts, they can make a decision. With this decision, they can stop this habit of smoking.
Dr. Dunn, very interesting. Thank you for being our guest on Monitor.
You've heard of that superstition that three on a match can be dangerous. Well, here's a fact. One on a match may be just as dangerous. And here's Paul Anka leaving his lady without a huff or a puff.
Good night, my love.
Speaking of good nights, Dr. Philip White, an official of the AMA, estimated this week that the typical American, by the time he's 70, will have consumed 50 acres of fruits and vegetables, 26 acres of grain, 2,400 chickens, 150 cattle, 225 lambs, and 310 hogs. And the good doctor forgot to mention one lifelong bicarbonate. You're on the Monitor Beacon. This is Big Wilson. All I said was music, news, weather, fortune phone. It's the big things that make listening worthwhile. And boy, did I get told where to go. This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where good things come in Big Wilson's package. Weekdays, 9 to noon.
One voluntary hospital of the United Hospital Fund is located in an area where many newcomers to New York live. To better acquaint these people with the services the hospital can offer, they were invited to a hospital happening recently. Here, they joined in lively discussion groups and found out that the hospital needed them as much as they needed the hospital. When neighbors learn that they are a part of the picture, they are no longer strangers. Your gift to the United Hospital Fund can be your way of taking part in the work of 78 great voluntary institutions. United Hospital Fund, 3 East 54th Street, New York, 10022.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York. Ted Steele's my name, and you're listening to Monitor, which this weekend, among other things, is clearing away some of the smoke and confusion on the big question of cigarettes. Right now, some Monitor music. Judy Collins, Both Sides Now. Monitor does it all the time, but here's another way to stay alert.
I was driving through sometime around 3 o'clock at night. I had fallen asleep, and all of a sudden waking up and seeing myself in the left lane and seeing a semi-tractor trailer coming straight at me. I don't know what woke me up. Maybe it was the...
When you're tired, don't drive. When you're rested, but the monotony of driving makes you drowsy, pull over, take a break, and take two for the road. Two no-dose action aids. They've got the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, yet they're not habit-forming. No-dose action aids. No car should be without them.
I won't identify the artists on this one, but see if you can. Here's a hint. One of their big hits was the stirring Give a Damn.
Without rhyme or reason, you come along one day. far as I know, love begins as it ends without a reason and without a rhyme. 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 And without a reason.
Spikey and our gang, without rhyme or reason. And here's Joe Garagiola, who always knows the reason for Monitor Sports.
This weekend, Monitor is taking a look at the subject of smoking, and that brings up some interesting things from the sports world. Perhaps the most famous smoker in American sports today is Red Auerbach. In the days before Red moved from the coach's spot on the Boston Celtics bench to the general manager's swivel chair, his smoking habits had a large interest to a lot of fans. It was Auerbach's habit to light up a cigar on the bench just as soon as he figured that his team had the game won. The fans, especially the ones outside of Boston, used to wait for this. When Red lit up that stogie, you'd think the gallery was full of owls. The hooting and the booing was tremendous, and Red Auerbach loved every minute of it. He confesses now that there were a couple of times when he wondered if he might have lit it up too soon, but somehow the Celtics always pulled things out for him. When I think about smoking, I always remember the case of a major league coach. The manager of the club finally decided to let him go, and one day he told me why. He said, he could have been a good coach for us except for one thing. Whenever our team was in the field, he'd go down the runway under the dugout for a smoke. Now, not occasionally, but almost every inning. Now, in his playing days, he was a fine player, both offensively and defensively. I wanted him to help with the hitters, and he did. But I also wanted some help with some defensive problems, and he was of no value to me because he didn't see our guys on defense. He was grabbing that smoke. I mentioned it to him a couple of times, but he kept doing it. And finally, I decided to replace him. When the late Fred Hutchinson was managing the Cincinnati club, he had an experience with the kid pitcher during spring training. The pitchers were supposed to be running in the outfield, but this kid sneaked into the clubhouse for a cigarette. Hutch walked in and caught him, grinned a little, and then said, "Son, your chance of making this club are like that cigarette you're holding." The kid grinned back and asked Hutch why, and Hutch said, "They're both going up in smoke." You know, 10 seconds later, the entire pitching staff was running in the outfield. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Yeah, Joe, I guess about the only good thing about the Boston Celtics winning less games this season, Red Auerbach's cutting down on his smoking. And a few more late items from Monitor Sports, which we'll have shortly. In football, the Boston Patriots today hired former Navy coach Bill Elias. Diane Crump, the first woman licensed as a jockey in the United States, made her third ride of her brief career the best. She finished fourth today aboard Miss Quoya in the third race at Hialeah. Miss Crump's previous finishes were fifth and tenth. Next stop, Diane, the winner's circle. And more college basketball finals. Niagara 104, Iona 78, Florida 82, Kentucky 81. St. John's 51, Fordham 46, Davidson 103, Furman 67. West Virginia 90, Duke 88, TCU 99, Texas Tech 79. Thank you. Favorite sounds there, Tony Mottola playing for Monitor listeners, you and only you. In tennis, giant killer Ismail El Shafai and the United Arab Republic advanced to the finals of the National Indoor Championships being played at Salisbury, Maryland. El Shafai breezed past Denmark's bearded Torben Ulrich 6-2, 8-6, 6-1 in today's semis. And we'll meet the winner of tonight's match between Americans Clark Graydner and Stan Smith in tomorrow's windup. If you're listening in Kentucky, neighbors, that station on your dial is WLAP Lexington. I wonder if the horses in Louisville are listening, huh? I'm Ted Steele. About the apartment house in New York City where the heat failed during the snowstorm this week. And one tenant, like the jingle says, was kept comfortably warm by his radio. He started a fire with it.
Something is happening and it started happening when you walked by. Something is happening and it's changing everything to you.
Something's happening. I'm Ted Steele. This is Monitor, interested in everything that's happening. Here's a report on a trend of our times that responsible people are trying to keep from happening by John Burns, noted authority on drug abuse.
The great increase in the use of marijuana in our country of late has been accompanied by much discussion and debate on the part of those smoking pot and other sympathetic students on one side, and parents, law enforcement officials, and the medical profession on the other side. For the past several years, Dr. Henry Brill, a medical doctor and internationally known authority on drug abuse, has spoken to various groups across the nation on the subject of marijuana. Here are some of his thoughts on this important topic. In arguing for legalization and extensive use of marijuana in our country, advocates often point out that marijuana is not physically addicting. In conceding this lack of addiction, Dr. Brill states that the mere fact that there are no symptoms of withdrawal from pot begs the bigger question, which is that marijuana can still be notoriously harmful through its capacity to produce psychological dependence and also lower the incentive levels of its users. He further calls attention to the fact that marijuana often opens the door to more serious drug and narcotic abuse. While drug users say there is no physical connection between smoking pot and becoming a heroin addict, the doctor replies that most persons with experience in the drug abuse field believe there is more than a chance correlation between the abuse of any drug and abuse of others. To illustrate, he recalls there was no drug dependence problem in Japan until the way was opened by an epidemic of amphetamine abuse after World War II. Now Japan has all of the drug problems of the Western world. The call for legalization of marijuana is being voiced more often of late by those who may not smoke the drug, but who feel that pot would lose its main attraction if not forbidden by law. In response, Dr. Brill asks the question, if this is so, why was marijuana so prevalent where it was legal? And why did it become established in the first place? The laws were passed only after the abuse developed, he affirms. Advocates of marijuana say, in effect, pot doesn't create psychotic conditions. It only releases pre-existing, unstable tendencies in the user. Dr. Brill takes a dim view of this argument, noting that the unstable and vulnerable portion of our population is a very large minority of our society. To assume that if they did not fall victim to marijuana, they would most surely succumb otherwise is pure speculation. This debate will most certainly continue until more is known about this mysterious drug, marijuana. This is John Burns for Monitor.
Norman Mycoff is a man who doesn't rush into things. This week, he married Lena Lightfoot. They met when they were 15, and now they're both 84. Careful, Norman. A man can get hurt by these snap decisions.
See the tree, how big it's grown, but friend, it hasn't been too long. It wasn't big. I laughed at her and she got mad. The first day that she planted it was just a twig. And then the first snow came and she ran out to brush the snow away so it wouldn't die. Came running in all excited, slipped and almost hurt herself, and I laughed till I cried. She was always young at heart and cat smart, and I loved her so much. I surprised her with a puppy, kept me up all Christmas Eve 2 years ago. And it would sure embarrass her when I came home from working late. Some sad and silly late, late show. And honey, I miss you. Oh, and I'm being good. And I'd love to be with you if only I could. Oh, she wrecked the car and she was sad. So afraid that I'd be mad. But what the heck? Though I pretended hard to be, guess you could say she saw through me and hugged my neck. I came home unexpectedly and found her crying needlessly in the middle of the day. And it was in the early spring when flowers bloom and robins sing, she went away. One day while I was alone, while she was there and all alone, the angels came. Now all I have is memories of honey, and I wake up nights and I call her name. Empty stage where honey lived and honey played and loved. honey, I miss you.
O.C. Smith, who claims his family ran out of names by the time they reached him, and he's been getting by ever since on nothing but initials and talent. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
WNBC News tells you what you want to know when you want to know it. First,
range safety arm light on.
Right. Affirmative.
Range ready.
Ready.
Water system ready.
Affirmative.
This is Frank Gorin. For fast, factual, frequent news reports, join me and the WNBC News staff right here. This is the place. WNBC Radio 660.
2-1-0.
Hi, this is Johnny Carson. Not so long ago, it was thought that a mentally retarded child could only be taught to brush his teeth or dress himself. The National Association for Retarded Children did not agree. They adopted as their slogan, "Retarded children can be helped." Today, 1 million of the retarded are employed by private industry. Is that proof enough of their faith? Thank you.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
It's Monitor and it's music. I'm Ted Steele, feeling fine, and here's Marilyn May with a feeling of her own.
Feeling good, feeling fine, feeling groovy all the time. Ain't it great just to be feeling? Feeling lost, feeling low, feeling helps to let you know you're alive. Be glad you're feeling. Once you pack it away, brother, you can't buy one more day. Brother, there's no time, so let your feelings roll across your mind. Feeling loved, feeling warm, feel it all before you're gone. Take a breath, touch a leaf, start feeling. Feeling loose, feeling cool, even feeling like a fool up or down, just so you are feeling. Oh, feeling rain, feeling sun, feeling love for everyone, feels so good.
Controversy about cigarettes, to smoke or not to smoke, to advertise or not to advertise, is taking place not only in our country, but around the world. Let's look first at how it's involving the people of Germany. Here's a Monitor Overseas report from Berlin.
If Germans are worried about the effects of smoking on their health, it doesn't show. Young people especially seem oblivious to the problem. There are no health warnings on German cigarette packages, but here, as elsewhere, filter tips are climbing in sales. Many American brands are manufactured in Germany, and those packages, too, bear no health warning. There are no controls on advertising, that is, no special controls. German radio and television are run indirectly by the government, and there are no commercials inside programs. Instead, a limited number of commercial messages are broadcast at specific times each day, both on radio and television. It is interesting that these commercial programs have large audiences, and cigarette commercials are included. They also play in theaters, which run 15 minutes or so of ads before the feature film. The government reportedly has a study underway now of the relationship between smoking and lung disorders, but no statistics are yet available. In Considering the German bureaucratic apparatus, it would be optimistic to expect results in time to have any effect on today's young smokers. Bill Brown, NBC News, Berlin.
That's the battle of smoke after the smoke of battle is cleared away in Berlin. In just a moment, we'll find out if, in Rome, doing what the Romans do means lighting up or swearing off. Monitor continues its survey on the cigarette smoking situation here at home and around the world. Here's an overseas report from Rome.
Tobacco is a state monopoly in Italy. That means that from the plant grown by a licensed farmer to the final cigarette manufactured in a state factory, it's all under government control. The health dangers of smoking worry the Italian government enough to prohibit advertising of its tobacco products. But the state has no hesitancy about selling as much as it can. Even though there are no ads for tobacco products in newspapers, magazines, on radio, or television, cigarettes and cigars provide enormous revenue, with 80% of the sales price of a package of cigarettes constituting profit for the state. Cigarette sales grow every year. Last year, each Italian man, woman, and child spent $23 for tobacco, an increase of about $1 over the previous year's per capita figure. There is a proposal in Parliament now to outlaw smoking in all public places. At present, smoking is banned in buses and streetcars, and the proposed law would extend this to trains, theaters, movies, and restaurants. Cigarettes range in price from 25 to 55 cents a package. A popular brand is called National, others are Sport and Stop. If a customer asks for one Sport, he may be asking for one cigarette rather than for one package. Cigarettes of any brand are frequently sold one or a few at a time from an open package. Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Rome.
And there'll be more reports from everywhere, pro and con, on cigarette smoking throughout the Monitor weekend. Honor to Music by the Duprees. All right, folks, let's hear it for Dr. Charles Powell. Dr. Powell, who works for an insurance company, says the best health benefit this country has ever had is the miniskirt. The higher they go, the more weight-conscious the ladies are, and that improves their general condition. Okay, Doc, but have you noticed the increase of eye strain among men? Tijuana Brass. I'm Ted Steele, your host for Monitor.
Clean Water, Washington, D.C.
Happiness is the Charlie Brown Show, weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. on WNBC Radio 660, New York.